Hello, my television and radio audience. Today I'm going to do something a little different. This is the first Saturday of the month, which is intended for open forum. So if anyone out there has anything that you think that we should be talking about, feel free to call in. The telephone number you need to call is area code 323-744-4831. But in the meantime, I have been led to talk about a particular subject. Now, this is because recently I was looking at on television, the city council meeting of Oakland, California. And something strange happened that I can't explain it. Now, the city of Oakland, they were proposing to have a motto, or the city council, a motto or a catchphrase or whatever they want to call it that's to represent Oakland, and it was only three words. I mean, two words. Love, life. And I listened to the people in the community saying that they would love to have this as a part of Oakland's motto, Oakland's way of telling people that this is what we're supposed to do. Love life. Two words. I listened to people from all over the community, from all walks of life, all races, saying that they wanted this to be adopted by the city. And they wanted it to be presented, you know, where you would know that if you enter Oakland. For example, the sign that says you're now entering Oakland, well, it should say, love life. Now, and any other signs that may come up later on when they do it, we're supposed to be saying love life. Now, what baffled me was there were two city council members that opposed to it. And I still haven't understood the reasoning behind it, regardless of what they said. And they both basically said that they did not talk to their constituents about such a city that probably become ordinance or something. Well, anyway, they said they hadn't discussed it with their constituency. And I couldn't understand that because I personally know that they have the agenda pretty much a month before the meeting almost. And you had plenty of time to address this with your constituency. I couldn't understand it. There was another council member that brought that up. You know, you had plenty of time. Right now is the time for you to have the vote. Well, it passed, by the way, because there were only two city council persons that disagree with having the motto for Oakland, love life. I mean, that's crazy for you not to understand that. I'm trying to figure out, and maybe some of you could help me out with it. Are you telling me that you know your constituency so well that they wouldn't want to be involved with anything that says love life. I'm not understanding that. You know, have you met your constituency at that level for you to even question that at that point, especially if you haven't educated your constituency? They're already supposed to know what's on the agenda themselves. In most cases, they don't. So that's what I had a problem with. It had nothing to do with the people in your district that voted for you. It had nothing to do with that. And there are different issues that came up, but what really threw me off, someone, one of the same individuals that didn't vote, one of them, I really don't want to mention a name, although it's on public record, tried to make it a racial issue. Now, let's look at the two words. Love, life. How could you make that a racial issue when right in front of you there were a number of individuals that told you that they wanted this motto, and they were from all walks of life, all religions. Now, I wanted to make that announcement, but now I want to talk about what God has led me to do. What is love? Okay. What is love? Because we have some problems with it, looks like. So what I will start off doing is giving you the definition, the Greek definition, and I'll come back to it and get deeper later. The Greek definition of love is charity. Agape love. Agape love is the love that Jesus Christ brought, but most people don't understand that. And I will be explaining that more as we go along. But in the meantime, what I want to do right now is go to the dictionary, Webster's Dictionary, and we're going to look up the word charity to start with, because love and charity mean the same biblically, but I'll have to discuss that even further. Now, charity, the definition, I'm looking in an unabridged dictionary simply because I want to read a number of definitions. Now, charity, number one, it says generous actions or donations to aid the poor, ill, or helpless, to devote one's life to charity. Number two, something given to a person or persons in need. Alms, that's biblically. Okay? Now, they go on further. They have charitable act or work, a charitable fund, foundation, or institution. And it also deals with leniency in judging others, forbearing, okay? Now, I want you to remember all of those definitions of charity. That's in the Webster's Dictionary. Biblical charity means love. Now, let's go to the dictionary and let's read about love. It says, a profoundly feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection, as for a parent, child, or friend. Number two, sexual passion or desire. A person toward whom love is felt, beloved person, that's number five. A love affair, that's number six. Sexual intercourse is number seven. The reason why I'm doing this is because today, when people say, I love you, somehow in their brain, it's associated with sex or lust. And I want to talk about agape love that has nothing to do with that. Now, I want to give you some scripture because whenever you listen to this show, you're going to be given some documentation on what I am saying. I strongly suggest that you have a pencil and piece of paper close by you. And today I'm going to be doing something that's closer to what I had said the last Saturday of the month would be, which would be in my ministry, but I'm being led to do something on love. Now, if you have your pencils and paper handy, I'm going to give you some scripture. Now, I want you to write the scripture down. Not necessarily listen to me and what I'm saying. I want you to read it yourself. I mainly use the King James Version of the Bible, the traditional, but I also have the new King James Version of the Bible, the NIV. I have all the types of the Bible. But you will, the words that I be saying most of the time comes from the traditional. Okay? I'm going to do the best I can here. Okay? Number one, you will find this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Now, I wanted to say that one first because I wanted to make sure you're going to understand where I'm going with this. I'm going to give you two more verses right now. Now, keep in mind, charity and love mean the same thing. It always has been. Now, to clarify some things, maybe some people need to know, donating to a charitable cause does not fulfill God's definition of charity. Charity means love. You cannot expect anything in return, and you cannot receive anything in return for it, because you did it out of love. But under man-made laws, individuals feel that they have fulfilled God's laws pertaining to charity by donating to nonprofit corporations, churches, or what have you. That's not fulfilling the charity laws of God if you get any benefit out of it, including tax benefits. You have to actually give it all, don't write it off, don't do any of it, and then you have fulfilled one of the levels of charity according to God. You cannot, receive anything in return for it. Not saying that you aren't supposed to be donated money and things like that to charitable causes. Yes, you are. You're supposed to do that. There are a number of ways that you will pay alms according to the Bible. That's basically what you're doing, giving it away. It won't be considered alms if you get a tax relief or tax benefit from it. Charity under God's laws means love, agape love. And I will be clarifying what agape love means as we go along here. But I want you to write down Matthew, and I think what I'll do is read this one along with you. I have a lot of documentation, and I'm not going to be able to read them all to you. So I'll give you the book chapter verse for your own homework, but I'll give you what it basically means. In this instance, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 22, verse 7. And where is it? It's over here. Chapter 22. Okay, we're going to read Matthew 22, 37 through 39. I need my magnifying glass. Small print. Okay. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I'm doing this because love has been with us since the beginning of time. We're in God's image. If God loves, we are capable of loving as well. Any type of emotion that God has, we have it. He's given that to us. Now, we're the ones that are going to have to control all those emotions. Now, let's go to John chapter 15, verse 12. Now, I'm reading these to you. I'm not going to be able to read all of the verses that I'm going to give you, but I'm going to try to give you the best that I can within this hour. I'm condensing 8-hour training program I did on television down to 1 hour. I don't think I'll be able to do it, really, but I'm going to give you enough information where you'll get the point of it. We're going to John 15:12. Now, Jesus is speaking. In fact, it was Jesus speaking a few moments ago. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, you can read on what he says about love, but there is so much in the Bible about it. I want to make sure I cover some things. Now, love has been here since the beginning of time. And it lets you know God loves us. He loved us, his creation. We're his babies. He's looking at us. And the only thing I can say is he's not pleased with a lot of us. And my responsibility is to teach you law so you can be prepared for the court of divine judgment. But at the same time, try to get you involved in what's going on in everyday life in a manner that won't destroy you. And right now, once you get into the world, you're in the world of Satan. And he has a way of just taking you out. That's his job, to make sure you die and haven't repented one sin. That means when you get to the court of divine judgment, you got so much stuff on your books. And when I first read that, what came to my mind, which is awful, you know, that you'll have a lot on your in the books and, the, you know, they keep track of it. I remember when I worked for social services as a case manager of welfare recipients, and I had to bring the cases out of storage pertaining to one particular case because it was going to the court situation. I don't know what this person did. They were no longer my client, but I happened to have been a worker on these cases for a while, and it just flashed on me. This person has, I don't know how many, I think it was 4 or 5, thick cases. That means they've been on welfare for a long time. And when I thought about that pertaining to the court of divine judgment and the books that they have there, I didn't want him to have no whole stack of stuff on me. And that assists me in changing my ways because I was out there with the rest of them. Now, I gave you the example of charity. I'm getting back there because we're talking about love. Love means charity. Agape love is what we're talking about. I gave you one scripture, 1 Peter 4:8, pertaining to that area, then I gave you the Jesus command. Now, we're going to go to the next level. You're going to go to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. And this is what it says. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. And I had a program that I did for over weeks about how to cover your sins. I will be covering some of that in the future. Okay. Now you're going to write down 1 Corinthians 13:13. And this is what it says. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now we are going to go to Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 14, and it says, and above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And this is one of my favorites, because many of us do this, but we're not aware that we're doing what God told us to do. You will find this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 14, and this is what it says. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, that verse itself tells you what you're supposed to do when you're around people. Basically, what we do is we hug, pat on the back, shake hands. I prefer something more intimate than shaking hands. Maybe a pat on the back, a hug, you know, is better than a shake of hands. But when you're greeting people, you're supposed to greet them with love. Now, what I want to talk about is love is all through the Bible. And it was in the beginning. Now, 2 John verses 5 and 6 tells you that it was here in the beginning. Now, I'm going to read that one as well. And then I'm going to give you a lot of other scriptures. I think I'll read 2 John. 2 John, you know, the epistles of John. I think the first, we have five chapters, and then 2 John is where we're going to. That's only one chapter, and the 3 John is only one chapter. But this is what it says, 5 and 6. Okay. I don't have it on the right. 2 John. And I pass, that's okay. Oh, here we go. Like I said, 2 John and 3 John, each of them are only one chapter each. But I'm going to be reading 2 John verses 5 and 6. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. So it's been, love has been the thing from the beginning, but the problem is not only with love, with repentance, it wasn't mentioned as much in the Old Testament, and that's probably why we ended up so crazy as people. We weren't taught back then. But anyway, get your pencils and paper handy. I'm getting ready to give you some more scripture for you to look up yourself. I'm not going to talk about that right now. I definitely wanted you to get the feel of love, because I'm having a problem with those that don't have any love unless it's associated with lust and sex. And I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't understand agape love. And what I'm going to do after I give you the scripture I want you to use as homework, because I'll bring it up later on. The last Saturday of the month is devoted to my ministry. I was led to do something different today. So I'm going to give you this scripture. And then I'm going to talk about agape love briefly. I'll get more into it as the weeks go by when I talk about law. But anyway, when it comes to loving your neighbor, you will find information about that in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Now, I want you to keep in mind the first five books of the Bible is law, okay? And those laws include the Ten Commandments. There are other laws and ordinances between the books of Exodus and Deuteronomy that we will be dealing with that are sound doctrine today and are verified and clarified and fulfilled by Jesus Christ in the New Testament. So I'm going to give you various laws. So Leviticus 19:18 is a precept beneath a commandment, one or more commandments. Precepts could be under one or more commandments, because precepts under the commandments are lined up in such a way that if you break a precept, you've broken the commandment, and if you broke a commandment, you've broken them all. Now, I know a lot of you have heard that from the ministers. I'm getting ready to teach you what that really means. Loving your neighbor is what we're talking about now. You will find also some information in, I believe that's Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. The stranger. Now, you're taught that you are supposed to love your enemy. That's one of the things that Jesus said, is for you to love your enemy. And a lot of people didn't understand what he meant by that. You're judging the flesh, not the spirit, and they are possibly under the spirits of unclean spirits. You are probably influenced as well as they are. So just leave it alone. Do the best you can to love your neighbor. Do things that the Bible say pertaining to your neighbor. Their commandments. For example, in showing agape love to your neighbor, well, before that, keep in mind that in order for God to know you love him and your neighbor, you have to abide by his law. They are neighbor laws. Now, I'm giving you laws that are not with the Ten Commandments. Keep in mind, the Ten Commandments are first written in Exodus 20. They're restated in Leviticus 5. So Leviticus 19:18 pertaining to your neighbor is a precept beneath a made that neighbor commandment. For example, the 10th commandment says, thou shalt not covet anything of thy neighbor. It breaks down things, you know, the wife, the house, the ox, the ass. But the last thing it says are anything of thy neighbors. You can't do that. That means you don't love your neighbor. And you're breaking God's law. So you're not, it's important that you show that type of love. That's agape love. Agape love means that, well, the examples in the Bible, you know, ox or ass, let's say. Your neighbor's cow, ox, ass, got lost out somewhere and got caught in a fence. You're not supposed to leave that animal there. You're supposed to try to save your neighbor's animal. If even if it's a strange animal, you don't have a neighbor, but it belongs to somebody, it don't belong to you. The Bible covers that. Go on and keep the animal until you find out who it belongs to, then you have to give it back to them. That's just the way it goes. It didn't say nothing about how you're supposed to handle situations for feeding the animal, caring for the animal, or what have you. It didn't get that deep into it in the Bible. You're doing it out of love. You're not to expect anything. And that's basically what that subject matter is about. You're doing it out of love. It also, the Bible also teaches us to love strangers. You'll find that in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 19. So look that up. And then we're dealing with the brethren. We have brethren who are of the same faith, and then we have those that are actually relatives. You have law. God is very serious about family structure. Inheritance. Man screwed the whole thing up. So now we have to deal with what we have going on. And loving one another, you'll find this in John chapter 13, verse 34. Now it's in the book of Luke, and I want to read this one. And they have a couple of others somewhere in there. I want to read this one. And this is the one pertaining to loving your enemy. And you will find this in Luke chapter 6, verse, what is that, 27. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. And this is Jesus speaking. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. That was, I went on and continued and read verse 28, but it tells you to love your enemies, and in verse 27. Now, obedience is a test of love. This is what I was saying. God knows that you love him through your obedience. You will find one incident of that in John chapter 14, verse 15. And the last but not least, another example, if you love God and you keep his commandments, 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, maybe a few more verses after that. I'm vaguely remembering that. Do that as homework. Basically, I was led to do this subject on love. So you know that this is what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to have a problem with the words love or life. And love, life, put together means a lot, especially for a city like Oakland or any of the other major cities in the world where we have a high crime rate. The only reason why we do not have a low crime rate is because of love. Jesus brought the commandment of love, and you can look at it any kind of way you want to. I'll show you this way, and maybe you'll understand it. The 10th commandment was intended on you not breaking commandments 1 through 9. And if you read the Bible and history, we have a large population of people on earth that are breaking 1 through 9. When Jesus came with agape love, if you love, you wouldn't break commandments 1 through 10. Many of us don't understand the commandments. The 10th commandment is usually the first commandment you break. That's thou shalt not covet. A lot of people don't understand what that word means. Thou shalt not covet nothing of your neighbor, even in thought and emotion. And this is the part that most people don't get with the 10th commandment. And most people don't get that if you do have your armor on and you're getting ready to lose your helmet based on thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that you're being fed by spirits, some holy, some unholy. If you allow your helmet to be penetrated with evil thoughts, there is no love there. And you will show that in your actions in your everyday life. Now, once you have allowed your helmet to be penetrated, it's going to be very easy for you to start speaking and saying words. And if you were influenced by evil, the words that comes out of your mouth will be evil. That's where you will be in violation of the 9th commandment. The 9th commandment covers all words that come out of your mouth. There are precepts that are beneath that 9th commandment that talks about all types of things that come out of people's mouths, even during biblical days. If what comes from your mouth is evil, you have lost your helmet for certain. Now, all you have to do is walk toward that evil. Your hands, your feet move toward the evil. Your whole armor is going to drop off. So that means you are left without any protection. You've allowed unclean spirits to influence you. You have free will. You did it on your own. You decided to listen more to the suggestions of unclean spirits. You must guard your thoughts at all times because you're going to be attacked at all times. If you don't guard your thoughts, you're going to start speaking and doing evil things. Now, the eighth commandment is the business commandment. It carries all the business laws, the precepts beneath. The eighth commandment was associated with business and all types of business, including the slave laws, which is not the form of slaves that we know today. God's laws didn't allow such treatment of people. He had his laws. And man decided not to pay attention to them pertaining to a lot of things, especially in business. We have large businesses that are practicing deceptive things. Have you buying whatever, and the thing don't work. We fall for it. They know it. They know exactly what the words that they're supposed to say to get the money out of your pocket, even though they didn't directly lie. But they know that they deceived you in such a way that you're going to spend money. That's covered by God's laws as well. All lies and deceptions, anything that you are trying to do to convince somebody of doing anything or participating in anything, and you know you didn't give them the full truth, there's some deceit in there. You're in violation of the ninth commandment, but also the tenth commandment and the eighth commandment when it came to business. It started with the tenth commandment, your thought. Now, how you cover your sins, I'll be covering a section in that over the next week or so, I think. But anyway, when you're trying to do your repentance prayer, you have to start with the tenth commandment and ask for forgiveness for even having such thoughts. And if you spoke any words 99% of the time, you're going to have to pray for forgiveness for even opening up your mouth and saying something. We get down to the eighth commandment, and whatever you did, there was a business or a person who's associated with a business, or it was their business or whatever, you hurt that as well. From opening up your mouth, including bearing false witness, which is the ninth commandment, against a business or a person, you hurt that person. Eighth commandment covers that. And it says, thou shalt not steal. Well, during business times in the Bible, they had the marketplace. And people were stealing. Not only poor people who were stealing food or whatever, the money changers were thieves. And there were laws against those laws that they were stealing from people. You can't steal from people, especially poor people. They had the weights all wrong, and they just, and the money changers were putting it in their pocket, I'm pretty sure, because it was over and above what they were supposed to do. Those are thieves in the marketplace. That all of that's covered under the Eighth Commandment, which cover all business laws. Thou shalt not steal also covers your personal life issues. Stealing from your neighbor, your family, anybody. If it ain't yours, you ain't supposed to be picking it up and taking it. I learned that one a tough way from my mother. She was a trip, and may she rest in peace. I just did a memorial recently. Well, anyway, one day on the mantelpiece, there was this penny, and I was a penny short for something. I can't remember what it was. It didn't mean nothing to me because it was just a penny, and I took the penny. And I left and did whatever I was did with it. I don't even remember that. The only thing I remember is when my mother asked me about that penny. And she said, did you take that penny from off the mountain? I said, well, yeah, it ain't nothing but a penny. In fact, by then I had some more pennies I can put. That had nothing to do with it. It wasn't my penny. I wasn't supposed to be touching that penny. You have to ask whose penny that is before you touch that penny. I will never forget this as long as I live, because that constitutes you being a thief. You stole my penny. I thought my mother was out of her mind going to talk to me about a penny. But actually, she was teaching me something that I needed to hear at that time. All the way down to the penny. It doesn't matter. You can't steal it from somebody. It's not yours. Ask them for it if you want it. In most cases, people are generous. They'll probably give it to you. I know I'm one. I got too much junk. It might be something you can just go on and take out of here. You know. Not necessary for you to steal it, but we have people that do that in violation of the Eighth Commandment. I'm trying to show you how you could be in violation through an example where you think you have broken one commandment, but you actually have broken many. You're going to have to learn God's laws and learn how to repent. You repent what you know you have done right now, right off the top, and pray for the Lord to bring back to your remembrance any other sins that you need to repent, especially death penalty sins. I gave death penalty sins on the last Friday, last Saturday of last month, because that's the my ministry day. You must repent all of those death penalty sins, or else they will be on the books when you get to the court of divine judgment. You don't want that. So what you're to do now is repent your sins, all of them that you can think of. And then don't do any of those again. There's some people playing a game with God, the 480 game. Or is it the 490 game? 490 game. Anyway, some people think God is stupid. And you keep doing the same thing over and over and over, praying for forgiveness. At some point, he's not going to want to listen to you because it doesn't make sense. You can't keep doing the same thing over and over. Well, anyway, I'm going to end this on love. I want you to read the scripture that I have given you and on the next, that's the fourth, I think we have four Saturdays this month, the fourth Saturday of this month, the last Saturday, is when we're going to be talking more about biblical things. Today was open forum. Anyone was able to call in. Now I'm going to end. Knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do. Until we meet again, I love you.